Hello, everybody, and welcome to TYH, a podcast on TRS Radio dedicated to youth issues. My name is Anglo, and with me, I have Nikephoros. How you doing today, sir?
You know, same old, same old. No reason for it to be any different.
Yeah, I think things have been rather normal.
Yes.
In the past week or so since we've been gone, so.
Nothing unexpected or unpredictable.
Before we go on to discuss our very boring and safe lives, I want to give a shout out to our donation box. It's not an actual physical box, but you could send it to our virtual box online, our Bitcoin. I almost call it a Bitcoin. We don't quite have that sponsor from Dr. Dre yet. Beatcoins. But yeah,
nah, we gotta get that Beto coin.
Yeah, no, it's the Yang. Yeah, Yang is done with Beto. It's gonna give us the Beto bucks.
Beto coin.
Yeah, Beto coin.
Well, because you know he's a big hacker.
Is he a hacker? Wasn't his?
What
was his? His handle.
It was like
big balls or something. No.
Psychedelic something. I don't know.
Psychedelic something or other.
Yeah, and he wrote a poem about his balls. Cult of the Dead Cow.
Oh, I watched that episode. It was kind of on in my house of Tucker reading some of his poetry, and I was thoroughly amused.
Was he laughing?
Yeah, of course he was.
Okay, good. Well, you never know with Tucker. Sometimes he'll try to feign his disgust or his outrage. So yeah, I mean, Beto coin going to the moon. Moon.
Ooh. But yeah, if you guys can send us some donations on our Bitcoin address, it'll be on in the description on TRS Radio. We would appreciate it. Any donation helps. And by the way, after this point in the podcast, if you listen without giving a donation, you're basically stealing content. So that's pretty rude. Dude, and so if you're on the train, doesn't matter where you're at, take the headphones out of your ears and throw them down on the floor because you're not supposed to listen. You know, this is
right. This is 100% unique AI generated content.
Yes, as that lengthy comment on the that actually wasn't written by me, by the way, where Nikkei did that little thing of
I didn't do anything.
Oh no, it was our AI.
Well, yeah, the AI that runs this account.
Yeah, it runs everything. But also, I want to say I lied last week when I said that midterms were kind of over with. One midterm was over with, not the other three. So I kind of jumped the gun there. But I just finished my last one today, so things are looking good. So
how do you think you did?
I think I did well on all of them.
That's good.
I studied. One of the classes was pretty easy. The other ones require a little bit more effort, but, hey, you know, you got to work hard for some good things in life, like a good grade, so you could eventually work at Starbucks.
That's right. Starbucks likes it when you get good grades.
Exactly.
Starbucks demands the smartest and most qualified employees.
I think Starbucks is really going to like my essay on Schopenhauer.
You know, that's the free market going after, merit-based hiring.
Well, you didn't see that tweet from Molyneux where it says that eventually companies will be able to just do you'll spit in a tube and they'll be able to detect your IQ and that will be good.
That's a funny way of, taking a look at you and pretending to DNA test you for being white
or Asian. That is,
you know, oh yeah, let's do a DNA test. Here, spit in this tube. We'll bring it back into the lab, you know, behind the kitchen.
The lab technician, you give it to the lab technician and he asks, what color was he?
This one's a
black gentleman.
Oh, nope.
Sorry, you're too stupid, according to our DNA test.
Yeah,
we're looking for somebody of more innate intelligence.
Which you don't average. Have. I'm sorry, but 85 is not going to cut it.
What do you mean 85? Oh, nothing.
But there's some very important news that I think we should talk about. This is the most important happening of the past week. I think it was revealed a few days ago, but there is this, very homosexual and gay YouTuber named Shane Dawson. There have been some rumors about him recently. And let's give some background. If you guys don't know, Shane Dawson is... He's a vlogger. I don't watch his vlogs, but he's been around for a long time. I would say 10 plus years.
At least, my gosh.
Yeah, and he has that, he was kind of the precursor to that whole sort of, oh, I'm a gay vlogger, and I make funny slash, you know, kind of vulgar jokes, laugh at me. You
know? I knew a lot of girls back in the day who would watch his stuff and, like, talk about his content, and those were the same girls who would read the Twilight series publicly.
Oh, yeah, publicly. What about those girls that did book reports on Twilight?
That never happened, thankfully.
It happened to me. At least
it didn't happen in any of my classes.
Well, it didn't happen to me, but it happened. It was in a class that I was in. Some girl did a Twilight book report. This was, I think, when it was new or something. I was in middle school. But yeah, so Shane Dawson is this big YouTuber. From what I've gathered and what I remember, he's always, you know, he makes vulgar jokes, like I said before, but they always have like a sexual nature to it because, of course, he's gay, so he has to be vulgar in that way.
Yeah, he was like YouTube star 1.0.
But like, he has remained a star. There are a lot of girls who still watch him.
Well, yeah, I mean, YouTube stardom, like if you make it like professional, mm-hmm. it doesn't go away easily.
Yeah.
Like there's just a few like notable exceptions to that. Like, you know, we talked before about Fred and Ray William Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But they were all YouTube 1.0 stars and
they had worse, they had very bad optics.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why they're gone.
But Shane Dawson was one of them. Damned if he's still not around making content and
joking about sodomy.
Yeah, regretting. Well, not just sodomy.
Well,
but.
Okay. Let's read the news headline from BuzzFeed.News, and the only source I go to for news. It says Shane Dawson has denied rumors that he had sex with his cat. So the YouTube star has defended himself after an old video emerged where he told a story about having sex with his cat. There was an old clip from one of his podcasts called Shane and Friends.
He does a podcast, huh?
Yeah. The things I've done to my poor animals, they will never love me. I've done terrible things. He then goes on to tell a graphic story about how he apparently dry humped his cat before he came all over it. You can listen to the clip below.
Should we provide that audio to our listeners?
I actually don't want to listen to it.
All right, fair enough.
I could play it on my phone. I don't have a connection right away. You know, I could try.
I guess y'all can also just look it up. You'll find it.
Here, I got my mixer. Let me see if it's working. Hopefully I get no notifications, but let's see. I won't hear anything, though. Do you hear anything?
Nope.
Don't pull away. I'm going to go.
No.
Oh. The things I've done to my poor animals, they will never love me. Mm-hmm. The terrible things. I used to...
Oh, no. I don't know if you want to go there, Shane. What'd you do?
One time, I laid my cat down on her back.
Are you going to get arrested for this?
I don't know. No.
Think about it.
I don't think so.
Okay, go ahead.
I didn't penetrate. I laid the cat down on her back, and then I moved her little chicken legs, like, you know, spread open or whatever. And I was like, if I just, like, hump... But, like, on her tummy, like, that's not weird. Like, whatever. And then I humped it, and it kept going, and I came all over the cat.
No, you did not.
It was, like, my first sexual experience.
No
I was also,
way.
Like, 19, so it's like, you know.
Wait a minute.
Wait a second. Did you just say you came on a cat?
Guys, I think I have to put money in the meter.
Yeah, right?
But, you know, who likes cats? I never did anything like that. Well, I never did anything crazy like that.
Maybe
to my
that's
dog.
Why you don't like pussy anymore.
No, the crap.
Hey-o!
Can I just start off by saying there's a lot to unpack here?
Well, do it, please, because I could not hear it. And that's one reason why we need donations, so I get like a headphone splitter or something.
So it starts off where he's like introing this story about his pets. And the first thing that happens is his co-host expresses concern.
Oh, so she knows that he's...
Oh, yeah, no. She knows this guy has bad stories, which is why she like... tries to stop this by saying, like, is this something we're going to get in trouble? Are you going to go to jail for this?
She said that?
Yes, that's the first, before he even tells anything about the story. He brings it up after he says, I've done bad things, horrible things to my cat.
Oh, gosh.
She says, is this story, something like you can go to jail for.
Well, there was a time when you could go to jail for sodomy. So
she's clearly already nervous about where this is going to go. And he insists that, no, it's fine. It's fine. And then he proceeds to tell the tale. And well, there's just a few things about the way that he says it, the things that he says in specific, that are just like, wait, hold on. What do you mean by this? Because you get the sense that this guy's talking and every single word of his is intentional. So he says things like, I moved her little chicken legs spread open or whatever. If I just hump like on her tummy, that's not weird.
I'm sorry, but
so you have to do the Sargon of Akkad cut there and like analyze that yeah. clause. That's not weird.
Indeed, it's weird.
He says it's weird that it's not weird that he just humps the cat as if any sort of sexual contact with an animal is could okay. ever be
could ever be justified as long as it's not, you know, straight into the V.
If it's not penetrative,
yeah, then it's okay, right? No, yeah. Sorry, buddy, but that's like you should read the Bible on that. What they have to say about that kind of stuff,
right?
Then I mean, you're already doing the laying with another man, but you're doing this thing too.
So he goes on to just describe the rest of the act. I don't want to repeat it. But then he says, like, next sentences, it was like my first sexual experience. Now, Sargon cut.
So,
this is your
I don't
first
know what it's like to
experience.
Have. I don't know what it's like to have sex. But what I know about it is that it's incredibly pleasurable if it's your first time.
I don't know if there's a centrist bestiality take.
well, no, I think in his mind, Shane Dawson is the centrist because he's not doing full penetration.
You know? Oh, God. I think you're right.
That's the big brain to take on the like one of the most unmentionable things like you could ever do. Like, you know, real talk, bestiality is the sickest thing. I don't even like to joke about it. To me, I think everyone agrees, like, bestiality is so screwed up. In terms of, like, sexual morality, it's one of the worst things you could do. It's like pedophilia, necrophilia, like zoophilia, homophilia, like, all that stuff, all those philias are very, very, very... very gross. And the thing that people got to realize, I think our guys realize this, but if you know someone who doesn't know this yet, homosexuality is usually linked in with other paraphilias. You know, para meaning out of the ordinary and philia meaning love. So it's like basically fetishes. So a lot of these homosexuals have other things that they're into. And it's kind of part and parcel with homosexuality. It's not just these, oh, it's two men holding hands or something. You know, like they show in Will and Grace. There's a lot of these guys are sexual perverts. People got to realize that this is intrinsically tied with homosexuality. These kind of dark paraphilias they're not an underbelly of homosexuality. I think it's sorry for the use of the term underbelly, but.
Oh, God.
But they're like part and parcel of homosexuality, more or less. And yeah. Yeah, not all of them are going to be zoophiles, but, you know, I bet you most of the zoophiles out there are probably fags, you know?
Yeah, and more so what I wanted to get out of this one, you know, looking at this one phrase, he says, it was like my first sexual experience.
Yeah.
And that's a sign of hesitation there because, you know, I think we all have our X doubt going on right now. Now, you know, I don't know exactly what he meant by phrasing it this way, if he's just lying or if this is like his, you know, the operative word there is my first. Because like this is, you don't get this way unless you are sexually abused. I'm just putting it out there.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
This is like abuse, sex abused victim actions. Like,
yeah,
that's who does this.
Okay, what if it is a joke? It's a joke that came from the mind of a sick person. So even
if it's a joke, then I really don't care. I mean, it fell flat and he probably grossed out his friends. I mean,
yeah.
If it's a joke, then he's just a troll. And I don't know. You got it. You got me. You trolled me.
Oh, good, you trolled me. Good, now good. I think you're a zoophile. Haha, that's funny.
Yeah, like jokes on them. I was only pretending to fuck my cat.
And it might very much be the case that it is a joke. But still, you know, this is the kind of humor that we have now.
Look, I
like you can't joke about race, but you could. Well, actually, this is getting some flack from mainstream society. But actually, one of the impetus, I think for digging out this joke was that a lot of the POC community had problems with some of the semi-racial jokes he would make. And so, like on Twitter, when you see like hashtag Shane Dawson's cat, it's a lot of POC talking about, you know. Oh, now y'all woke to Shane Dawson before he was making jokes about...
What's Tariq say?
Tariq, oh gosh. Tariq, is that Jazz's boyfriend?
Tariq Nasheed dating Jazz Jennings. Yeah, if this was real, if it wasn't a joke, I have my serious reasons to doubt the full picture expressed by my first sexual experience. But then the last thing he says, in the sort of tone that starts out like... You're kind of justifying it. He says, I was also like 19.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
That was when I first heard it, when I first heard the audio, I thought he was going to say something way younger than 19. Right?
Yeah, like 7.
Because you don't justify something you did, you know,
you're literally
supposedly, you know, presumably in your youth by saying, oh, I was only 19 at the time. Well, you're a grown ass man at 19.
I'm pretty sure none of our audience does that, and they're like 19.
So. Yeah, you know, I was 19 not that long ago, and I can tell you for sure my full recollection wasn't like humping cats.
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel like that's also a weird thing because he says it as if this is going to, you know, brush off the whole thing. Like I was also just like 19.
I was 19 and I dry humped him, so it's not that big of a deal. Those two factors really, you know, you need to put that into your head and realize that it's not that big of a deal, guys.
I heard this one story from my friends in the neighborhood when I was like in middle school.
No.
That our neighbor, he touched his dog's genitals.
Oh.
He didn't like sexually stimulate his dog.
Oh.
But he still touched them and like thought it was funny enough to tell them about. And we were also, like, not teenagers at the time, younger than teenagers. So, like, if the story went like that, where the story was, like, this other kid in the neighborhood I didn't know, and he's on this podcast and he says, you know, one time I touched my dog's dick, but I was, like, 8 at the time.
And I was...
That sort of like makes up for it. It's still kind of weird,
yeah,
but like
it's weird,
you don't want to like have to think about this anymore. So you're just like, oh yeah, 8. No, that's, you know, 8. Okay. It wasn't bad then. Moving on.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot easier to dismiss that as like, you know, just childhood, stupid shit, stupid, gross.
When you have kids like raised on South Park and stuff like that. And I guess I'll sound like a prude, but I don't care. But like, we have kids raised on South Park, you know, this kind of humor. It's like, oh, I touched my dog's pee-pee. There's probably an episode about that on South Park.
Wouldn't be surprised. But, you know, that story is like 100 times more, I guess, tolerable than that, with the Shane Dawson story.
Yeah.
So everything about the way he delivered this story was just like red flags here and there. And like the last thing he said, was that he laughs it off, and he's just like, nobody likes cats. Oh, another thing he said that's not
he
in this
doesn't
transcript,
like cats.
This another thing in this not in this
he
transcript that they didn't include here was like he ended saying, I never did anything like this with my dog. Well, I never did anything this crazy to my dog, and I'm like, wait a second, wait.
So you've done crazy things with your dogs, but just not
so good. You've done like comparable things. With your dog. Maybe not this crazy, but, you know, what's your definition of crazy, bud? It's either all just like a gross out joke, or it's like a I don't know, like pent up bad memories having to come out by some form like this. I think, what's that term for people who want to be the center of attention, histrionic.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
This is like of. This is like a histrionic cry for help. You know, this is what histrionic people do. Mm-hmm. And it's really just like kind of clear to me. I don't know.
Well,
I can't be like armchair Freudian psychoanalysis here, but still, I'm going to do some type of...
I don't have to analyze much to realize this guy's a psycho.
Yeah, I'll take him at his fucking word. I don't need to like reinterpret his...
dreams.
Yeah, his dreams, you know.
Well, he has a thread of tweets, you know, responding to the accusations. I did not F my cat. I did not come on my cat. I did not put my D anywhere near my cat. I've never done anything weird with my cats. I promised myself I wasn't going to make apology videos after last year's thing. So I'm just trying to be as short and honest with this as possible. I've apologized many times for all the dumb shit I've said in videos and podcasts over the years. I learned my lesson over and over again. I'm more confident now in my ability to be entertaining by just being myself and not being so shocking just for laughs. The story was fake and based on a dumb, awful sketch idea I had years ago that I never made, thank God. And when the opportunity came for a funny moment in the podcast, I told it as if it were a real story, which was disgusting and very, very dumb. And the gay man, all caps. My goal with the podcast and with my videos years ago was to tell shocking stories that would make people laugh and scream, "Oh my god, you no, you didn't," and think I was so crazy. Gosh, she writes like a 12-year-old girl. It's embarrassing, and I effing hate myself for it. He just writes like a woman.
I think he just writes like a histrionic victim of childhood sexual abuse.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm wrong. Like,
the thread goes on longer, but it's just like the same things over and over again. It's like me. How old is this guy now? Like 30?
It's got to be like 30.
Let's see. Shane Dawson. Shane Dawson age. He's 30 years old. Exactly.
I wonder if anyone's just like straight up asked him like if he's ever been abused as before.
It's got to be somewhere. I know that he was like suicidal a lot. I mean, that's kind of a given.
Dude, this is... heartbroken person. This person is in dire need of intervention. This person's been dealing with shit in very, very unhealthy ways for probably 20 years now.
In 2015, he came out as bisexual, but he currently lives with his boyfriend, Ryland Adams, with his dogs, Uno and Honey, and his cat, Cheeto. So I guess the cat's name is Cheeto. Despite his difficult relationship with his father, he has managed to reconcile with him in recent years and has made videos talking of his improving relationship with his father. Even finding that they have much in common, like bestiality or something. I don't know. I don't want to...
What do they list?
No, they don't list anything.
Oh.
This is Wikipedia, dude. He has body dysmorphic disorder. So this guy is...
He's got a lot more than that, let me tell you.
Yeah.
All right. I feel weird because I don't know the guy.
Mm.
But if this were like a friend... Or like a recently made friend telling me all this, the sex abuse red flags have like abound.
Yeah, yeah.
And at this point, I would, you know, start to ask them like, "Hey, do you need to talk about anything? Because I can tell like something is wrong, right? Yeah. I can't be the only one here. You know, I might be the autiste incapable of empathy, but." This all strikes me as like kind of like, what the fuck? There is something not being said here. And I think it's very important that it be said because this guy is trying to express himself through all these other things that aren't the big thing.
Well, it says that as a teenager, he was overweight and was mentally and physically abused by his alcoholic father. It doesn't say anything about sexual abuse. And his surname is Yaw. Like it's.
I don't know what that means.
It's like a yee-yaw.
There usually is also something else that brings you to, like, catfucker.
Yeah. Or he's just making a joke for attention.
I don't know, man.
I can't tell you because I have no experience.
We live in a sick enough world where...
We live in a simulation.
I wish. if only we could be so lucky. But we live in a sick enough world where, like, I can't dismiss this red flag, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't think anybody in their right mind would dismiss it. And I think a lot of people have just dismissed it out of convenience and like not wanting to bring up a sore subject. I don't know. Maybe he's told people in this about this privately, but I don't know how much this guy is like seen professional help, but it seems like he needs it. And, you know, I'm not like condoning this guy, but like this is a sick person, and you can't let sickness just go untreated. It's not healthy for the rest of, you know, community.
Well, his first girlfriend's name was Lisa Schwartz.
Okay.
And then he's his associated acts. One of them is Jeffree Star. You know who that guy is, that fella?
I think so.
He was very popular. He's basically a tranny. He is a tranny.
Isn't that like the Marilyn Manson wannabe?
Perhaps, but he's been around for quite a while, the MySpace days.
Really?
Since, like, because my brother's a lot older than me, and this was, like, he was, like, the most friended person on MySpace in, like, 2006, but he's still very popular now.
Coincidentally, the height of Marilyn Manson's popularity, 2006.
Really? I thought it's, like, the 90s or something.
I don't know. I would guess.
Who cares? It's all stupid.
It is.
No offense, but I don't care. Just... I don't care about offending people who like Marilyn Manson. He sucks.
Yeah, there you go. And you're gay.
I like how Jeffree Star's real name is Jeffrey Lynn Steiniger. It's like he's a shitty version of Weiniger. Otto Weiniger. It's like, oh, darn it. I wonder if that's Jewish.
Yeah, it's Steiniger.
Oh, his father died of a suicide when he was 6 years old.
Ah.
So it's almost like people who have messed up personal lives become gay.
Become fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Funny how you never really hear about, like, a normal gay person.
Yeah, I know.
You know, every gay person I can think of, pretty shitty relationship with their father.
Yeah.
And all of that being unwarranted, you know, they'll just tell you somehow. Or they'll, you know, it'll come up. They'll mention it repeatedly. Or they've been sexually abused. And I can't think of any exception to those things.
I don't really know many gay people at all, so I couldn't tell you.
Pal. You're lucky, but, you know, I've known a few.
What, you hanging around a bunch of queers or something?
Incidentally.
I think that's just our listeners. Nah, I'm just kidding.
No. Come on.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't have contempt for our
audience. I'll call my listeners who are Marilyn Manson fans fags.
But they're not actual fags.
But, you know, if you're just a normal listener, you're not gay. You ain't gay.
Yeah, no, I don't have content for the audience. I like to joke about it, but I'm... racial controversies from Shane Dawson. He has been criticized for his racial comedy, in particular his use of blackface.
Well, I also see a thing in Jeffree Star's Wikipedia here that says, Star has been accused of racism after making derogatory remarks about minorities.
Which minorities?
Although he has since apologized for those remarks.
What are these minorities?
Let's see. I've clicked this the source article for this. The most serious allegation against him involves a racist comments made 12 years ago, and this was published in 2017, that have resurfaced in a series of videos in recent years.
Dang, 12 years ago. That's like definitely Jeffree Star hours. Who up?
Yeah, man. Imagine caring about, like, 12-year-old plus racism.
Yeah, going through his freaking posts from 12 years ago.
Oh, well, interesting. You see one moment, and it's literally when I'm 19 years old.
Uh-huh.
I'm 31 now, and I look back at this, and
what's up with gay people at 19, dude?
19's like a racist turning point, I guess.
Where's
look, that's why we're here, to prevent you from becoming gay, dear listener.
Yeah. Prevent you from being a bestiality aficionado.
You know, it's better to embrace the racism than to embrace a man sexually.
Well, what did he say? I can't find the comment.
I don't know. It doesn't say in this article.
That's stupid. Is it too offensive?
I'm just going to type in Jeffree Star.
N-word.
Hey, if the alt-right existed back then, maybe Jeffree Star wouldn't have become a faggot.
Yes, maybe.
Oh, God.
Let's see.
Oh, here are some choice quotes from Jeffrey. I win by having diamond rims, and you win by being a poor Mexican.
Whatever.
Shut up, you fucking...
N-word.
Bitch.
Ooh, there we go. Hard R.
You stupid ape. He asks someone, will you beat that N-word up for me?
Does he spell it out N-word?
No, I just didn't want to say it because I'm very respectful to the black community. Jeffree Star.
Jeffree Star with a hard R.
Yeah.
Hard R.
You're a star now. Oh, speaking of MySpace, did you hear that basically all the music from MySpace is gone? What I mean by that is that, wow. You know how back, I barely remember MySpace, but when my brother used it, and he had his band, he would post his band's songs on MySpace, and that's how people some bands got famous back in the day, you know, it's before YouTube. But apparently all the songs that have been uploaded from like 2002 to like 2015, they're gone. They're nowhere to be found. Maybe that's good for some people. You gotta forget your stupid little metalcore band that you had back in the day. With your long bangs and your
lipstick. Lord knows everyone else has forgotten it.
But yeah, MySpace is gone. RIP. Well, I guess that part's gone, but no one cares about MySpace.
No, it's very gone.
Yeah.
So, you know, MySpace was like something, I don't know, even older than...
us.
Than me. Yeah,
yeah, way older than us.
Like, I remember there was one time my dad...
did he have a MySpace?
My dad came home and he's like, looks through our search history and our YouTube history. Or not YouTube history. It was not a thing back then, but internet history. And was just trying to see if we had ever gone to MySpace. And, you know, I'm asking, like, oh, what are you looking for? And he's like, well, have you ever been to MySpace? I'm like, no, I haven't. He's like, well, good, because there's a lot of pedophiles there, and they're using this as a way to talk to kids. And I'm like, okay, well, stay away from MySpace. But that was like my first impressions of it. It was like, MySpace is where, like, you know, pedophiles go to,
pick up
predatory
kids.
Towards children.
Yeah, because that's I was a kid then when MySpace was around. I was like a little kid, But my brother was on
like
that.
The Charles Hanson.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Those things are horrendous.
Another sign of a very sick world.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. It's so gross when they have like no guilt. They're like mad at Hanson for being there. It's like, what, you know, instead of like, oh, I'm sorry. Or like, you know, being ashamed. They're like, what? I was just trying to get with this girl. What are you doing?
Don't cock block, bro.
Yeah. It's like, you're sick. And I think I saw this like when it aired or something, or like on the early version of YouTube, when that rabbi, do you remember that? When that rabbi,
no,
there was a rabbi who, was on To Catch a Predator. He was going to go see like a 10-year-old boy or a 15-year-old boy, something like that.
Imagine my shock.
Yeah. He was a rabbi. And he reacted in such a kind of histrionic way. He's like, don't do this. You don't know what I have at stake, or something like that. You know, it was very creepy.
Too late now, Kike.
Yeah.
You're in Chris Hansen's oven now.
Yeah. This like Nordic guy is like, your time's up, Jew.
Chris Jansson.
Yeah. My ancestor from Sweden.
Well, well, what do we have here? It looks like we have a slimy rabbi in the hot seat today. Well, you sick pedophile, what do you have to say for yourself?
I will turn you into IKEA furniture.
You will make a nice lampshade.
And it will be called Svartalabalatatala. Swapplebop.
Judenfart. Judenfart candle. But it's spelled F-A-A with an umlaut T.
No, with the little circle.
Ah, yes, the angstrom.
The smorgasbord thing.
The smorgasbord. I think that's called an angstrom, right?
I don't know, I'm Italian. I don't even know these things.
Yeah, I don't know how that's supposed to sound, but the angstrom...
Yeah, I have...
You know, the word angstrom does have an umlaut on the O. Because it has to be that weird.
Angstrom. Yeah, I know people who speak Swedish natively, and yeah, Swedish is a very interesting language, to say the least. I think it's not officially tonal, but there's like slight tonal elements to it. As you can kind of tell when they speak, it's kind of sing-songy.
Oh yeah, no, definitely.
And that's like, I think that's hard for basically anyone to master. I did a few lessons of Swedish from a book, but I just like, nah, what's the point of learning this? They all speak English. I don't know if any, like, no offense, maybe there are some good Swedish writers out there, but I don't know if like any of the greats, you know, the great Europeans that are from Sweden, you know, so it's much easier. It'd be much better for me to learn like German or Italian or sort of Latin or something. Cause like, what am I going to read in Swedish? You know,
you can read like migrant sex guides.
Yeah.
You can take like Packy PUA courses.
Oh, Packy PUA. Oh my gosh. Yes. I could finally understand what those weird names are for IKEA furniture. I can understand what kallis means. I just know it tastes good, but I don't know what the word means. Kallis. That's the smoked salmon roe in a tube, by the way.
Yeah. Here. I can't remember the last time I had anything like that.
It was good. Swedes, they got that salmon game pretty strong. They True. Really do. You know, they got that gravlax. They got all that.
They also like have it like really hardcore too, where like they'll just like put it in a tube as a paste.
Yeah, that's
kallis. And they'll dare you to eat it. Put it on the shelf like everywhere in Europe. And they're like, hey, here's tube fish.
Yeah, eat this.
You know, it looks like a toothpaste. I know there's nothing else that you eat that comes in a container that looks like toothpaste, but this one is, and it's also fish.
Yeah, well, they have a thing in Sweden called surströmming or something like that. What it is, it's highly fermented herring fillets or whatever. And when I mean highly fermented, like they basically rotten at this point, you know. They be rotten and stuff. And the can that it comes in is puffed up because of the gaseous fumes or whatever that are inside.
You know, my mother always taught me from a young age, if you see the can, like, puffed, that means
it's
spoiled.
Yeah, don't do it. Yeah, it means don't do it. That's, like, common sense. But I guess the Swedes are like, oh, tastes good. But, yeah, it's supposed, but, like, I don't know. Like, how can a surströmming go bad?
I guess it's implying it was ever good in the first place. I thought the whole point was it's spoiled.
Yeah, but I guess it's like a good kind of spoiled.
Look,
or
things don't.
It's like a fermented, right? It's like
things don't release gas. You know, food doesn't release gas over time because it's not spoiling.
Yeah,
it releases gas because it is spoiling.
Yeah, that's.
It's like called decomposition.
Yeah, it's like you're eating rotten.
You know, the same thing
happens.
Yeah, the same thing happens with every other bit of animal flesh. Why should we classify this anything differently when it's fish? That's like, that's a Swedish shit test right there. Like, oh, it is not rotting, it's food. It's just...
fermented.
It's fermenting like wine.
It is a fermenting in a... You have to open it. You have to put it underwater and open it because it squirts out liquid and the smell is horrendous.
I'm sure.
And doing it underwater helps. Keep the odors out or most of the odors out. But I heard it's like you're smelling a sewer, like a straight horrendous, like just horror.
Yeah. None of this comes as any surprise.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Sweden, but that's gross.
I might try it if I'm there, but you know what? I ain't there right now.
You know, like in Italy, we just eat pasta. You guys have to do all this weird stuff. It's like, what's going on?
Yeah.
In England, we eat spotted dick, and you have to do this. I mean, come on. I heard that you're reading some books or something.
Oh, I haven't been reading any new books. I did crack open again Imperium at my usual spot, and had this interesting encounter where the girl at the register, I guess, notices book Uwu.
Oh, what's that?
And she's like, oh, I think I've heard of that book before.
Oh yeah, really? Can you give me a summary?
Yeah.
You want to tell me about the Red Brown Alliance or what?
Well, basically, I just go into like, oh yeah, it's this. It's very interesting. It's very heady, but a lot to dive through. Political commentary I never really heard before. And she just sort of says, like, oh, my friend was reading it and telling me about it. And, like, eventually she says, it's like, yeah, like, it's really interesting to think about how about life on Mars. And I'm like, what? Wait, what?
Yeah.
Like, this is a nonfiction book. This is like a political treatise. And she's like, oh, I was thinking of Illyrium.
Oh, gosh.
Which I also think that's not even right. That's just the LARP name for Albania.
Yeah, exactly. She's just reading a book about Albania. Albanian sci-fi. Like she,
yeah.
Dude, that's got to be horrendous if that exists.
Albanian sci-fi. I think she meant like Elysium or something like that. Yeah, that's where like they don't go to Mars, but they do leave Earth. I mean, I don't know the whole story, but I just know
in the alien world of Albania.
Yeah.
Where they have the best weed, like that meme I sent you.
It was just it was an interesting encounter. And I found it funny because no one's ever people have commented when they see the cover.
Looks cool.
Which is always like a red flag. You know, when I was first checking it out from the library, the librarian's like, oh, a cover makes it seem interesting, but still like in a very stern kind of way that only old librarians can express.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like, I have to wonder, like, are you saying that because you're an old librarian? Or are you saying it that way because you know? And then, like, you know, girl at the counter, like, why do you know about this book?
Yeah, what are you doing?
And it's really just, you know, you're retarded.
Yeah, I've been reading Mishima still.
Nice.
The gay guy who cut his stomach with a big knife in front of the military base or something like that.
Yukio Mishima.
Oh, gosh, remember that channel?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I was big into that.
I liked watching Mishima back in the day. It was funny.
Are you talking about, like, Mishima, the actual, like, Mishima?
Like, the...
Like, as a genre, or the web, or the video channel on YouTube?
The video channel on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, like, with, like, commentaries and stuff like that.
Like, it had, it wasn't, like, commentaries. It was just, sketch pieces with,
Halo?
Yeah, like Halo characters or Grand Theft Auto characters. And
yeah, I never got into,
you know,
that.
Just using these as like movie makers.
I was into that Mishima, like where people would do commentaries on Call of Duty. That's what I would watch.
Mm.
And I, you know, when I was like 14, I'm like, this is like the dream. I wish I were a Call of Duty commentator. And now I look at these guys and they have like at the most 1,000 views per video. And, you know... And it's like, dude,
press F.
We eclipsed you, and we're a racist, obscure podcast where we talk about Imperium.
We talk about girls noticing us reading Imperium. Imperium. Yeah.
Now you're depressed because you quit your job because you once were able to like get 200,000 views per video, but then that changed.
Yeah.
Gosh, imagine how depressing that would be.
Life after Mishima. Wonder
it
what
makes,
them
it makes sense.
Barbie and the Chief niggas doing now.
It makes sense when you think about it, because it's so stupid. You know, it's game stuff, video game stuff. Of course, that's not going to be a long-lasting thing. But when you're a kid, you're like, oh, this is like the dream job.
Well, now there's PewDiePie.
Well, he's like transcended games, right?
He has, but...
Now he's just a comedic guy. Before, he was doing like Let's Plays.
Still watch him more than you would Mishima vids.
Yeah.
But the new stuff I was reading, I was revisiting the Clash of Civilizations theory, Samuel Huntington, thinking about it in the context of the world in 2019. And I think it's holding up.
Can you summarize this for the audience and perhaps me, because I haven't read the whole thing.
So what a basic postulation of a Clash of Civilizations was that the post-Soviet world was sort of split up into, you know, intercontinental, multinational, civilizational groups. And they were all sort of centered around the dominant culture was common throughout these countries. And these civilizations include Western civilization, which is like the Anglosphere, plus everything west of the Hainal line.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Orthodox civilization, which is, you know, the Orthodox majority countries. There's the Islamic world, the Buddhist world, the Hindu civilization. There's like sub-Saharan Africa as a civilization. You
Wakanda!
Know, Latin, yeah, Wakanda.
I'm far away from my mic.
Latin America, just basically the Latinx-sphere.
Latinx-sphere.
What he calls the Cynic civilization. I guess he thinks they're all...
Okay, yeah, sorry.
They're all dogs.
Yeah.
Like cynics.
Yeah. No.
Like Chinese, similar to India, there's the Japanese civilization, where it's, you know, just its own unique ethno-state civilization.
Yeah, where they go and cut their bowels out.
Yes, and these divisions would be the sort of multipolar axes of the world following the collapse of the Soviet Union, and sort of as a successor to the notion of the first, second, and third worlds. And it sort of led me to a Greek theorist, Dimitri Kitsikis.
Is that the sauce? The dip your pita in?
Tzatziki?
Yeah.
Tzatziki sauce?
Yeah. Tzatziki sauce?
No. Oh. No, Kitsikis.
Oh, okay.
And he is a Turkologist and a sinologist, and he teaches international relations and geopolitics. And he's got a very interesting background. He comes out of a communist tradition. His sort of ideas were rooted in a geopolitics, you know, body of literature that draws heavily from Stalinism. So, you know, he's growing up during the Greek Civil War, which obviously was a very polarizing time in modern Greece. Well, this Kitsikis guy has this theory he's written about called Helleno-Turkism.
Uh-oh.
And it's sort of a neo-Byzantinist, Ottomanist, syncretic view of geopolitics. He sees cooperation with the modern Turkish state as a geopolitical goal for Greece and other surrounding states. Obviously, you know, you could tell from his writing and his discussion of the topic that he's trying to turn back to the glory of Byzantium in the only way that you would think, you know, reasonably feasible today, yeah. Right? Like, it's not the Byzantine Empire we want, but it's the Byzantine Empire we can get without annihilating each other. And so for that, I can understand where he's coming from. Obviously, I don't agree because, you know, I don't want any cooperation with Turks or the modern Turkish state. But I find his work interesting just because it is like coming from it is the extant school of thought behind, you know, some of my big scale, like aspirational political ideas. You know, just like it's not the Byzantine Empire he wants, it's not the body of literature I'd want to start off with, but it's the one I got. And I think it's still worth investigating for that reason, because, you know, there's other things about him that you can sort of approximate his real beliefs. Most interestingly, despite coming from that communist milieu, in 2015, he endorsed Golden Dawn.
But he likes the Turks. I don't get it.
And saying it was the only patriotic choice in the general election.
So I'm confused. Is this guy just confused? I mean, I guess you say...
I don't think he's confused. I think he is...
He doesn't realize that Turks are just basically animals?
Well, I don't know enough to say what he thinks about the Turks racially.
Uh-huh.
I think he's just trying to see the only way... back to a Byzantine revival, more or less,
or
it would be like transitional.
But what's the point of doing that when you're allying and you're mixing in with the Turks? Would you rather not?
I guess it gives you a place to start that doesn't involve, like, you know, annihilation war. No, I'm not saying I'm okay with it. I'm just saying it's
gay.
A brand new idea that I hadn't really even heard of before, that comes from the same guy who endorses Golden Dawn. And for such reasons, I am compelled by novelty
to
read it, because, well, this guy's talking about the sort of more abstract things that I'm interested in, and he's got this entirely unexpected take on it that I've never even considered for a minute. So I'm just presented with an entirely new idea. I can't ignore it.
This sounds gay to me.
It does sound gay.
It sounds stupid.
I'm not going to lie. On first impressions are not good.
Are you going to start like a Turk alliance soon?
Idea. No.
Are you just being
I can't,
you're just,
I can't advocate
you're just,
that.
You're just interested just because it's weird.
I'm interested because it's weird, and I can't help but get the feeling that this guy would try to tell me that this is what I should really seek to get what I want. You know, I remain skeptical,
mm-hmm.
But I don't see myself ever becoming non-skeptical. It's impossible for me to envision myself as somebody like going to be like allying with the Turks. Nah, that's not happening. But I can.
When you hate the Turks so much that you start to love them.
Not quite. Not quite.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, maybe it's an intellectual foundation to build off of and say, yeah, we're doing this, but we're not bringing the Turks with us.
I don't know much about the history of Byzantium, but what I wonder is if being attached to like old colonial or imperial, I guess maybe land things could be perhaps limiting. I mean, I don't know how Byzantium, how far did it expand? Was it just Greek speaking areas, or I'm really gonna show my historical ignorance here, but
it was Greek speaking areas, but the Greek speaking world was much larger than it was today.
Ah, that's true.
You have to remember this is the successor to what essentially had been, you know, many centuries of the Hellenistic world. And you know, then the Roman Empire.
But what do you do when the Roman Empire split? When those lands are no longer Greek.
And it's not so much about, you know, full border restoration. It's not that I just want to, like, you know, draw a new map that I like more.
Yeah.
It's that I think it was a better order for Orthodox people to follow, just as the Russian Empire was. Now, the Russian Empire, you know, had some similarities, but I think the biggest difference was that the Byzantine Empire wasn't really imperial.
Oh, okay. That's
in the same way that we sort of critique imperialism, qua imperialism.
It's qua. That we live in the qua.
Yeah. This sort of empire was one where there might be different groups of people that have like their differences.
There was still
the most important foundation was the Greek foundation. Yes, they had a Hellenic-centered worldview.
Because, like, they for instance, had, like, you know, I consider myself an Anglophile, but I think it's stupid, right, to say, hey, let's bring back the British Empire to its full borders or anything like that, or bring all these countries that were once under British rule back under British rule. But I guess what you're saying is that it's not the same thing, because it's not like an imperial state. It wasn't an imperial state, rather. So I was kind of mischaracterized it by saying, you know, it was one of those things. It's instead. So there was a Greek basis to Byzantium.
No doubt.
Oh, okay.
And that's the only reason why it existed in the first place, was because, you know, following the conquests of Alexander, you have centuries of a Hellenic world.
Well, yeah, a Hellenic world
that has time to develop. You know, whereas Alexander did have like an empire as we think of it, different people. I mean, hell, his empire began within the borders of modern day Greece, where you had disparate city states that, you know, would never consider themselves to be the same nation at the time under his control, under his hegemony. And he extended that all the way out to the Indus and Oxus rivers.
Yeah, that's.
You had successor kingdoms in Afghanistan, like Greco-Bactria. And there's historical records of, like, influential Greek Buddhist monks. And I'm not kidding.
That's some funny stuff, boy.
The syncretic faiths of,
you know,
the Hellenic pantheon and Buddhism are well documented.
That's interesting. I never thought about that, because I know that Alexander the Great went very deep into the Orient, but I never thought about the sort of religious paths that crossed during that. It's interesting to think.
Right. One of the most visible and easily, you know, scholarly based piece of evidence is, look at the art. So you have not all depictions of Buddha are
some fat of this, smiling,
you know,
Asian
fat
guy.
Yeah, monk. You have classical style statues of a, you know, normally proportioned Buddha that were the direct influence of Greek statue techniques.
Yeah.
Greek sculpture.
Well, there was back in my days before I was I guess, a Christian, I was kind of experimenting with some of that Indo-Aryan religion stuff. There was this thesis or idea that the Buddha was actually like an Aryan, or, you know, like white. I know he spoke an Indo-Aryan language, but you know what I mean? Like he was basically white. Buddha was white. And therefore we was Buddha.
The radiant one with an enlightened face.
Yes.
But there's just a lot of, and you can see like a lot of influences of in the artwork, in this part of the world. And all of it comes from a Hellenistic legacy. Now, the closer you get to Greece, the longer the Hellenistic legacy lasted.
Yeah, so it's...
just because you're getting closer to like more densely populated places again.
It's like a, like the ocean rising against the beach and just slowly going back in.
Right. So today, you know, you're not going to find very many lasting bits of legacy of Alexander in the, I don't know, Pashtun people.
Yeah, yeah. There are a few tribes, I think, that say that they're descended from Alexander.
Yeah, I think I told you that story before.
Maybe you have, but I remember watching a documentary on it a long time ago, before I was even red-pilled.
It's all fascinating stuff, and, you know...
They still look like Afghanis to me, or kind of dark, but...
Well, Afghans aren't the darkest people that way. You know, take a look at Pakistan. Oh, tell me you can't pick out an Afghani from, you know, lineup of...
Well, no, like, oh, Afghani, Muslims, that's... Well, Afghanistan's, like, not a real... It's not a real nation, right? Cause
not really.
Because it's there's different... There's so many different ethnic groups.
Yeah.
What's the main one in Afghanistan?
Isn't it Pashtun?
Yeah, I think it's Pashtun. So it's, like, it's not even... There's not, like, really an Afghani people, is there? It's just...
I don't know. Maybe in the more...
in the political sense,
urban,
there is, but
urban centers.
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah, but I know that some of the Pashtuns get pretty white looking because aren't they yeah. Persians technically?
Probably
somewhere down the line.
Probably. I don't know. I'm not an expert.
And they get even kind of Asian, Asian-y looking, meaning Orient.
Yeah, they're Pashtuns. They belong where they are, yeah. And they're not They haven't had any signs of want to go anywhere else.
Oh,
very recently.
I made a revelation. Was it the Greeks that introduced them to Baka Bazi?
Oh my god. I mean,
because the Greeks had that that whole thing, the whole pederast.
That whole thing overblown by Western scholars. Yes, this was been documented historically. Was it the Greeks that brought it over? Who's to say? You know, probably wasn't just the Greeks who realized you could, like, you know, sodomize other people.
Oh, gosh.
I feel like
That's why Shane Dawson figured that out.
Yeah, he figured that figured it out independently of the Greeks. You know, it doesn't... You don't have to be, like, a super genius to figure that one out, I will say. Where was I? You totally derailed me.
I just figured out a secret you never wanted to tell anyone about Greek history.
I have to admit, no, I've never thought about that, and I didn't want to think about that. But now you've put it in my mind.
So there was a such thing as a white Baka Bazi at one time.
Perhaps. This is only your theory developed right now. God damn it, what was I saying?
Something about...
I was just trying to highlight a larger point that this the successor kingdoms... Alexander, you know, maintained a Hellenistic legacy in the Middle East for centuries, allowing it to pretty much become the thing that existed in this part of the world. Like, goddamn,
Ben Shapiro, you gotta stop doing all them wheelies on your bike.
Ben Shapiro, he was motorcycling outside of my house. Trying to run away from the mobile gas chamber.
Just imagine Ben Shapiro like on one of those speed bikes, whatever.
Like a Yamaha crotch rocket.
Yeah. His yarmulke pinned down and it flies off. Turns into like a frisbee.
He's got to have like, I don't know, something that pedal boosters.
Oh, because he's short?
Yeah, just to bring it up to his legs height.
Yeah, I don't want to interrupt you again.
No, that was actually a funny interruption. Unlike the other one.
What, the Bakabazi?
Yes, that one.
That was funny.
I didn't laugh.
I bet you the audience is cracking up.
They might be, but they're not here now.
They're always with me in my heart because I actually care about them.
Isn't that sweet?
Even though I don't know what you guys look like or anything about you guys.
They're right there next to the part where he thinks about white Bakabazi.
Oh, no, you sick little bastard.
Look, man, you started it.
Okay. No, I'm not going to take that. I didn't say you were doing Bakabazi.
No, but you're the one who, first to theorize the connection. So you must have been thinking about it.
Well, my first thing when I hear of Afghanistan, it's like I hear those horrendous stories from, like, servicemen.
True.
And they just talk about how they're
I can't blame you for that one. That is a hard association to...
It's like, yeah, the Afghanis are fags.
Yeah. Nah. My first thought of Afghanistan isn't the people. It's just it's mountains, man. They got a lot of them. It's just desolate mountain.
No one wants to live there.
Nobody wants to live there. So, yes, this established Greek worldview that exists in the Middle East has the time period of hundreds of years to set itself in stone. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is enough time for something to become very well established.
Yeah.
In a region. So it's less like, you know, the British in Nigeria, let's say, where they're not there for generations and they aren't really like imposing like the British worldview on this similar group of people, mm-hmm. right? There's just like blacks and, you know, maybe some of them have been taught English. But for the most part, it's just, you know, colonists who are the real British subjects in these areas. And it's only, you know, a matter of decades and not centuries that they're even there. And so the difference being that, yeah, if you have hundreds of years to, let's just say, assimilate these people into your core empire culture and ethnic group, then, you know, those people are going to stay there until something big changes. And the, you know, big thing that changes is the Arab invasions, the Arab Empire after Muhammad. And so,
Muhammad.
You know, you have hundreds of years of purely Byzantine rule over this territory.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Arabs just come in and fuck it all up. Mm. You know, they bring Madik, they bring Makran.
There's got to be something.
Yeah, Madik.
Madik Nasheed.
Madik Nasheed, you know.
Yeah, so I get what you're getting at.
Instills Islam, and, you know, now these people are the furthest thing from Greeks. The closest you get now is, like, the Lebanese.
The Hellenistic influence even went to Israel. And speaking of Israel, did you guys know that Charlie Kirk went to Israel and he wore AirPods at the Wailing Wall, which I thought was awesome.
Wow. I have no idea how to reply to that.
You didn't see that?
Did he have his fresh waves underneath his yarmulke?
Yeah. It was like, it just made me laugh so hard.
Was he still the do-rag on with the yarmulke on top?
I don't know. I couldn't tell. That was a very big yarmulke. But, one of his responses, this is on Instagram, he posted this. Maybe he did on Twitter as well. But he said, I can't believe the anti-Semitic comments that I've been receiving. It's unbelievable. I stand by the Jewish people. Something like that.
Nigga, you couldn't even hear them with your AirPods.
I know. Couldn't hear them shuckling, whatever it's called, where they're like doing the weird praying thing.
It's like, bitch, I ain't hear nobody wailing. Yeah. Just hear these sick beats, son.
Yeah. So, I mean, who's based in the end? The guy who just don't give a fuck and just listen.
Bumping Chief Keef at the Wailing Wall.
Yeah.
Charlie Kirk, the type of nigga to listen to Drake at the Wailing Wall and then start to cry for real.
Listen to Modest Yahoo. One day, oh, all the people will be under our control. Yeah.
One day, all the Arabs are slain. One day.
One day. This day ain't no game. The Arabs are insane. We kill all their women.
9/11 on a plane, like one day. modest Yahoo chocolate drink.
Yeah, dude, that sounds good.
It's the kosher Yahoo.
Yeah.
Yoo-hoo.
Netanyahu.
That nigga going to jail. Hopefully. Yeah, he got, like, charged. Or at least,
hopefully.
Recommended for a grand jury.
What do you do?
Corruption. Corruption.
Oh, bribery. Oh, really? Who would have thought?
Typical tricks.
Is that even a crime in Israel?
Yeah, surprise. Like, you can go to jail for that there.
Maybe like they charge him for not.
Why, being... It's like, do they consider the jail like the wall they built around Palestine?
Yeah.
Like, nah, actually, we're in a jail. You're like, the ones who are free.
What if he, you know, is getting charged for not being corrupt enough? He wasn't smart enough to
not taking up. Enough bribes.
Yeah.
I can promise you that Benjamin Netanyahu is not take a shortage of bribes.
Yeah, I could just imagine what kind of nefarious things go on. Like, I don't even want to know. But I'm getting very tired. I have to wake up very early tomorrow. Sorry to end it so abruptly, but...
Yeah, basically my point was restore the Byzantine Empire where Byzantines remain.
And I say restore the olive oil empire. Basically all the countries that use olive oil is where Greece once expanded into.
You know, this mare is nostrum.
Whatever that means. I don't shop at Nordstrom. Too expensive. Too expensive.
I don't care what's made at Nordstrom. This is America.
I want my stuff off of Amazon made in China.
We here eat soybean oil and corn syrup and none of this gay olive oil crap.
I want my rifles made in Israel.
Got me a Galil. Call it Galil Wayne.
Gosh.
I'm a gangster.
Before we do our little puns, we want to say thank you to Israel for everything that you've done. Thank you for USS Liberty because
boat sucked anyway.
Yeah, God was mad with us somehow. He punished us, and that was one of the ways. I'm sorry. And I want to say, see you later. Say goodbye.
See ya. We'll be right back.